So I was going to do some of the Gemaras, famous Gemaras about Tisha B'Av, right? Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It's probably we've heard of many times in our schooling, and you know. So we decided to kind of go through the Gemaras a little bit, and some of what I'm going to talk about is taken from the shiur we gave a few years ago. You know, from our memories of the shiur, and some I don't know, who knows, whatever. But you know. If you like the ideas, you can credit them to me. If you don't, the part that you don't like, you can credit to me. Okay, so the Gemara is Nun Hei Amud Beis and Gittin. Okay, if you have a Gemara, great. If not, it's okay.
Are there kings?
Mm-mm. Those are decoys. Okay, so it says like this. It's on the bottom. It's on that's page 110 there. Nun Hei Amud Beis. It's on the right page. It's towards the bottom. It's like the fourth wide line. Okay, so it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dechsev Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. Fortunate, what does the pasuk mean? It's the pasuk of Mishlei. It says, fortunate is a person who's always afraid. Okay, he's always worried. U'maksha Livo Yipol Bara. And on the opposite, a person who's hardens his heart, I guess to not be afraid, will fall into evil. Okay, will come to harm. Okay, harm will befall. What's that talking about? Right? What's that talking about? So it says, Akamsavar Ubar Kamsa Chorav Yushalayim. It's a reference to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, for which Yushalayim was destroyed. Okay, if you don't know the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, we're going to go through it soon. And it says through two other stories, which I haven't done yet, but Tarnagol is the Chorav Torah Malka, for like a rooster. The Torah Malka was destroyed, and Asaka the Rispe Chor Beitar. Beitar destroyed for some other story. Okay, so those are.
Torah Malka is a city?
Yes. Yes, Har Malka. Har HaMelech. Tor is Har, is like Har. Mm-hmm. It's a mountain. And then Beitar was destroyed. There was an incident involving a carriage or something like that. Okay, so I didn't do those stories yet. I just did the. We're just going to do the Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Okay.
Didn't he say that these stories embody
the lesson of that Pasuk somehow. Okay, so Rashi says mefachid. What does it mean mefachid? He says doeg liros hanolad. He's worried to see with a future thing which is gonna yet occur. Shelot eret takala b'kach. Ima says also that a stumbling block won't occur if I do so and so. So Rashi is worried about negative consequences that may emerge in the future, based upon decisions which you make. So that's just saying, Ashadam Mefachid Tamid. Fortunate is a person who's always worried about what disastrous consequences may emerge out of actions which you take. Right? But a person who hardens his heart and somehow ignores those types of consequences because their future, maybe they're not so likely, they're whatever, he'll fall to evil. Because things happen, things do happen, there is such things as bad consequences, and if a person's not mindful of them, doesn't plan accordingly, he runs the risk of falling into trouble.
And it's before they make the decision, not after?
I think so, yes, that's what I'm learning, exactly. Yeah, it's not being worried after the case, it's talking about worried beforehand to not make poor decisions, to look towards the future and worry that perhaps so-and-so may go wrong and to take precautions against potential harm by reactions. I mean, that's what it sounds like it's saying. Okay? But what's an instance of it. So Gemara's going to give a story of it, you know. This is funny. Tosus asks, he says, Beperek HaRoa and Rinan, Beperek HaRoa and Brachos, that's the Tosus Asher and Fachetan, the bottom Tosus is on the right side. It says, the story of Rinan Chazi Elohu Gavra, the Havim Mefachin. So I forget who it was, but a Rav saw a person who was afraid. Amalei Chatat, he says, you're a sinner. Dechsiv, Pachadu B'tzion, B'tzion Chatan, people who are afraid in Zion are sinners. So he said, on the contrary, it's sinful to be afraid all the time. And he saw a guy who was afraid, worried, and he says, no, that's a sin. Uparuch mikra, the hacha, and he asked the question, what do you mean? What about this pasuk? It's a contradiction. This pasuk says it's good to be afraid all the time, and that pasuk says it's sinful. Umuki lo divrei Torah. So it says, the case where you have to be worried is by divrei Torah. Shedoeg shelo yishkach tamuda. You're worried lest you forget your knowledge, your Torah. The Chozal Mishnah Sotamen, you're always reviewing your knowledge so that you don't end up forgetting something. So too here, it's bringing these stories where they were worried, they were confident the people in the stories of Yerushalayim, which we're going to learn about, were very confident about their great tova, which they had, vishalvasam, and their tranquility in amongst the Romans or whatever. The vayesh as bar kamsa, we'll see, to embarrass bar kamsa, vilamud al bas kesar, and to stand up against the Caesar. And they should have been afraid of a lido, goldaig, and to worry minhaparanas from the evil, from the bad. Lo dami la dem mespachid b'chinam. It's not similar to a person who's just worried for naught. Okay? So what's bad is sinful is just always be worried. Just be walking around worried about everything, always worried. That's saying that's sinful. That's not a proper attitude for a person to take. But at the same time, there seems to be a rational worry, which is appropriate, and that is, on the contrary, it's fortunate that a person is aware of such a thing. Right? Okay, so what's the, we have to see our story here, I guess. But, could we just get some idea of what it's talking about? It seems like it's saying there's a good worry and a bad worry. Could we just throw out a possibility of what's the...
Wait, but then there's two different good worries?
Two examples. One is you're worried you're going to forget your knowledge. You review your knowledge. Because I guess it could be it's more important those days, I would think. So you don't have everything written down. You can't just look something up. But or like a posik, it means you want to be able to restore your knowledge, recall your knowledge. You don't want to make mistakes, you don't want to lose it. So you review. So you're able to restore knowledge is important, and you want to guard it. And you're worried you're going to lose it. Or in this case, it seems like they were confident, overconfident in their security and peace and tranquility in their hometown, in their country. And because of that, they weren't worried about the potential consequences which may happen, which did end up happening, namely the Chorban, because of certain missteps which they took. So it seems like that type of a worry, it's that those are saying is a good worry. Thinking about things like that, which again, we don't know the stories yet, we can't talk that intelligently about these examples, but hopefully we get the basic idea. But the type of worry which is bad, he's just saying he saw a guy who was walking around worried. So that's what he's saying. It's about him was mispachid bechinam. He's just worried for nothing. Well, that's kind of shown me worried for nothing. I mean, it must be for something. Right? What are you worried about if it's for nothing? Right?
It seems like they're taking hindsight approach. Something bad happens, and it's bad that they didn't worry.
Right. But yeah, it's true. You mean after the fact that something bad happens, you could say, oh, you should have been worried. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other one is saying about your learning. It's not necessarily after the fact. It's before the fact. You should, be worried about forgetting your knowledge and try to review it, and don't just be confident, I don't necessarily know that it's always because hindsight. Sometimes you could say in advance. Seems like it's prescriptive. It's just going to look after the fact. It's, sometimes you could tell by after the fact. It's easier to see it, perhaps, in stories after the fact. But
in a practical sense, if you're worried about the consequences of your decision before you make the decision, that's like practically beneficial because it can,
right.
It'll hopefully urge you to be more careful. Whereas if you already made the decision and you're worried, I feel like I don't want to psychoanalyze it too much, but I feel like it kind of is a lack of acceptance of reality. In fact, you don't control over it.
Right.
Why are you still worried? You can't do anything.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I mean, the first one is life does have its challenges and its potential, pitfalls. And a certain type of a person is just carefree. Everything's fine. No, maybe not everything's fine. There's such a thing as negative consequences to your actions. And even though they may seem somewhat far-fetched or whatever, but they happen. And a person should be worried about them. Maybe invest your money in some sort of diversified way, maybe buy insurance, right? Things like that, right? You can say, well, I'm not going to be afraid of a fire because what are the odds and whatever. Yeah, but you may end up having a fire in your home and have to live on the street or whatever. So that's like an intelligent thing to do. Life does, not too often, but often enough, have, really bad things that could happen, and they could be avoided or mitigated by worry, by being sensitive to the fears. Your fears sometimes tip you off to an underlying true danger, which you could guard yourself against if you are mefachei dam. If you don't just dismiss them, a certain type of person might just be dismissive of, eh, you don't want to think about those things, they're uncomfortable to think about. But on the contrary, it's something you have to. But then you're saying is there's another person who, it's not because of something per se, just, I don't know, stuff could happen, I'm worried. So a lot of this worry out there, not because you have to decide anything, you just, certain people are just like anxious about stuff, about anything. There's always a million things could happen. There's, life is uncertain, right? A lot of things could happen. A person could just randomly get sick, a person could do this, a person could that, lose their money, lightning could strike out or whatever, right? Like just an anxious, worried, nervous person. And somehow I think a person, he like tries to gain control over the reality by worrying. Like there's a certain type of like neurotic worry. And yeah, it's hard to know exactly, but it seems like somehow, yeah, you're trying to get control over the situation. Like as if you could take every single precaution for every single thing and always do right this and always do that. Like bottom line is, even if you plan to do 100 things, the one thing which you didn't plan for is going to happen. Like there's some types of things that you just can't, you can't control everything. There is a certain indeterminacy in life. A person has to be able to have Hashem, has to be mispalel, has to make rational decisions and accept the reality that the world is not 100% under your control, and that's a makom for tefillah and for avodas Hashem, and recognizing that your best route towards procuring those things is through perfection, through shechar ha'onesh, and through tefillah. But worry in that type of a situation is just like a neurotic reaction. It doesn't do anything. So it takes you, it's sinful because it like takes you away from acceptance of the reality of the God's world. You're trying to somehow deny that and feel like you could have more control than you truly could. Right? So there is a sense of worry. Sometimes you have to realize, you have to judge it with your mind and say, is this rational? Could I do something about it? Then don't dismiss it. If it's not and it's just worry, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to play, you know, like shut you down and totally haunt you and whatever, then you have to somehow try to move past it, and to try to dwell on it is like trying to, I think, overestimate your sense of ability to control these things. And that's what I'm saying, it's okay.
So I'm confused. That idea of worrying as a form of something bad,
mm-hmm.
that's not coming from this Gemara. Is it coming from
the... No, it's coming from a different Gemara in Brachos, which says there's a person who was always just walking down the street worried.
Tosfos brings a different Gemara where somebody was worrying too much.
Right.
And the idea of that is if you're overly worried, you could be, you know, turning yourself inside out because of nothing, and it could be like...
Right. It could, first of all, make you frustrated and anxious, and also I think it comes from an underlying, like what he says to do, but I think it comes from a wish or an illusion that you could control things more than you could. Like the idea of like a nervous mother who's like making their kid bring their tissues and do this and do that and do this and make sure you don't do this, make sure you don't do this. As if you could really gain control over reality by doing 100 different warnings.
Well,
but you're not going to get
the example of the person who was worried too much was worried that he would forget his car.
No. The guy was walking down the street and was just worried.
Oh, that wasn't the person.
No, the guy who's forgetting his learning was a rational worry.
Well, that was okay.
Yeah, that was saying is like you're a post, you're a person who has knowledge. Your knowledge is your post-prized asset. Your nature is that you do forget things. You may think you remember it at this moment because you just learned it, but that's not the way things work. It's important to be able to recall it given your position in the Masorah. Don't just trust yourself that you're going to do it. You may forget it and then that's going to be bad. And you can end up, you know, could water down the Masorah or whatever. That's rational worry. So there are things that are worth worrying about. And you could do things about it. You could review your Torah. You could make intelligent decisions. So it's interesting. The Torah doesn't have, like, any like, foolproof method of being able to take on a certain emotional profile. Of like be worried or be chilled out. There's a time for worried and there's a time for chilled out, which is generally the case with all different emotions in the Torah. Is that those type of people look for simple solutions. Just have to always be nice, always be mean, always be tough, always be, you know. It's not life is more nuanced than that. So this is one example. I don't think there's a difference necessarily in the emotion of the worry, as much as, you know, how it's applied and whether the it's not a different emotional source. It just sometimes the worry is in line with reality and sometimes it's not in line with reality. You know, just sometimes you're worried about a lot of things. Sometimes they're real, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you can do something about it, sometimes you can't. So your mind has to differentiate between when it is, you know, when it is and when it isn't. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so that's an intro. So what's the story? Any question there on the phone? Yeah. It's like, there's like a doomsday type of thinking, you know? People who are worried about stuff and they do all kinds of crazy stuff because they're worried, as if they could somehow, you know, solve their problems by, you know, I don't know, whatever they do for whatever these doomsday people do. Okay. So it says, here's the story. Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking, you tend to worry about things that are more tangible, like, you know, we can't
That's an example of the Torah, but there's also, you see an example, a political example, which is going to come up here, in the dealing with the Romans. So, it's not only Torah that there is to worry about. It's other things also. But Torah, yeah, I mean, you have to kind of have priorities straight also to know what to worry about more and what to worry about less. Yeah.
And the knowledge of probability.
Yeah, a certain knowledge of probability. But again, also knowledge of what you could do about the probabilities, you know? Like, you know, you could worry about, the person could be worried that they're going to die, so they buy life insurance. But you should worry and die, and forgetting, putting life insurance, so what are you going to do? So I mean, you could eat healthy. But like, there's a certain amount where you can just sit around all the time, just worry, but what are you going to do about it? If there's nothing you can do about it, then deal with the world, deal with life. These things could cripple a person. Yeah. Okay, so here's the story. It says, so the famous story, right? It says, Kamsa bar Kamsa chorav Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa bar Kamsa. The Ahu gavra the rachme Kamsa. There was a guy whose friend was Kamsa. His name was Kamsa. Kamsa is the name. It's the name of a person named Kamsa. Okay? His friend was Kamsa. Ubal devave, and his enemy, bar Kamsa. His name was bar Kamsa. Okay? And so you could probably tell Kamsa and bar Kamsa sound similar.
What's the shortage of the word devave?
I don't know. Enemy. I don't know. It's Aramaic for enemy. Yeah, I understand. I think Dvava is hatred. Hate. Yeah, I think so. Okay, so it says, Avasu Dasa. So he made a party, a meal. So Amalei Lisham, he told his servant, Zil Aisi Le Kamsa. Go bring me Kamsa. Invite Kamsa. Ozal Ahu Gavra Baal Devave, I'm sorry, Ozal Aisi Le Bar Kamsa. So by accident, the guy invited Bar Kamsa. He got confused, his servant is, right? The Evite or whatever went out to Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa. Okay, so Ozal Ashkechei Davi Yasuf. So the Baal Abayis, the unnamed Baal Abayis, saw that Bar Kamsa's enemy was sitting here. Amalei Mirti Ahu Gavra Baal Devave, Ahu Gavra Ahu. My boy's off. I see this person. You're my enemy. What are you doing here? So kumpo, get out of here. Okay, get up and leave. Get up and leave. Go out. Amarle said, "Hovel vasoi." Since I came, shavkan, leave me alone. V'yevna lechad me mada achalna v'shasina, and I'll give you the money for what I for my meal. Right? I understand. You didn't mean to invite me, but look, I'm here. It's going to be embarrassing. You're going to throw me out. So please, Amalei La. Nope. Amalei Yehivnel Chadamei Palgal Sudasech. I'll give you half of the whole meal. Okay? I'll split the cost of the whole party with you. Amalei La. Amalei Yehivnel Chadamei Kulis Dasech. I'll give you the entire meal. Amalei La. Nope. They picked him up in his hand. Picked him up. He grabbed his hand, picked him up. He brought him out. Okay? Threw him out. Okay? So it says, Omar, so now Balak Bar Kamsa said, Ha'u'il v'have yasvi rabbanon v'lo machu bay. Since the rabbanon were sitting there and they didn't stop it, they didn't object, Shma minak anichalo. Apparently, it's good for them. They go for this type of a thing. They don't mind. This is part of the type of thing which they approve of. Ezel echel behu kortza beimalka. I'm going to go snitch on them to the king. Okay, I'm going to go tell them the Jews. Okay, malshin. Okay, slander them. Right, these are the kinds of people we mean when we say la malshin or malsi sikva. The malshin to tell on the guy. Okay. Azal, he went. Amar Leila Kesar. He went and told Caesar. Mardu Bach Yudoi. The Jews are rebelling against him. Amar Lei. Caesar said, Mi Amar, who said? I'm not going to. The Jews, these are good people. And why would I? Right? And as Tosa said, the Jews were in good standing. They're confident in their good standing. You can't just go and slander the Jews without having proof. Who said so? Right? So Amar Lei. And this is arguably why they weren't worried about these type of things. They were confident. It's those things. They're confident about their standing. You know, you can't just. What's he going to do to us? We didn't do anything wrong. Shadar, so what's he? He can't tell the Caesar, hey, the Jews let me be thrown out of a party. Okay, so what? So why now? What are we going to kill the Jews? Because you're. So Shadar Lu Korbana. He says, send Caesar. Why don't you send the Jews a carbon? Okay, to bring in the Beis HaMikdash, and we do bring, if a guy sends a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, we bring it. Chazis, and you'll see, even carbon like, if they bring it or not. So, Azal Shadar Biyada Iglat Lasa. They sent them a very good calf, a third from the stomach, I don't know, whatever. Some really good, fancy schmancy thing. Good calf. Behade de Ka'asi, before it got there, Shadar Be'imuma. Svinivs Svasayim. So he. Bar Kamsa made a blemish in the inside of the lips of the animal. The Amila Bidukin Shrine, or on like the eyeball or something, some little nick. Biduchta Dildidon Havimuma, which according to us, in the Beis HaMikdash is considered considered a blemish. Ulditu Lovumu, and for Goyim, for Bnei Noach, if they want to bring Karbonos outside of the Beis HaMikdash on their own Bama, it's not a mum. There is a halach of a mum. They can't bring an animal which is missing a limb, but a little neck, that's not, that's below the standard, or above the standard which they are allowed to bring. So again, so Bar Kamsa made something, this neck, and he knew now the Jews would be stuck. Because what are they going to do? So Savarabanan, the Kruve, Mishim Shalmachas, so the Jews thought maybe we have to bring it, even though it's Asar. But we need it for peace. The king's going to get upset. Amar Lu Rezacharya ben Akolas. So Rav Zechariah ben Avkula said, he was like a leader apparently, Yomru, people are going to say, Balei Mumim craving on the Mizbeach, you're allowed to bring a Balei Mumim on the Mizbeach, which would be a terrible distortion of Halacha. So we can't do that, we can't bring it. Sovar l'miktalei. So then they thought, maybe let's just kill Bar Kamsa. Delo leizel v'leima. So he won't be able to tell that we didn't bring it. Right? Then they'll think we brought it. Amar Lu Rav Zechariah, Yomru Matam Lom B'Kachem Yehorik. People are going to say that if you make a blemish in a kachem, in a karbon, then you get Chayav Misa, which is not the case, right? Because what did Bar Kamsa do? Why are we killing him? Because he made a nick in a karbon? That's not a.
How do they know that he did it?
How they? I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I'm not sure how they know. But they know.
And that part of the story I never heard before, that they knew that he did that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know. Apparently they know. So, Amar, it could be he told them. Right? I mean, he's not, you know, he's trying to get them. He's trying to dig it to them. So, you know, why would he tell them? Right? I mean, apparently he couldn't go to Caesar and explain this whole story. I don't know if they had his ear to tell him the whole story about the Balmum. So, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, An Vasanuso Sherev Zachariah ben Avkulas, the Anivos. Rashi says it means the patience of Zechariah ben Avkulas. The patience. The Rashi says this patience that he didn't kill Bar Kamsa. Hechariva es be'batenu, besarfa es hechalenu, be'eglinu me'atenu. Because of his patients, we ended up getting the Beis Hamikdash destroyed and the Heichal burned down and sent out the Gaz. Okay? Okay. So I'll read a little bit more. Okay? Shadar Alayim L'Niron Kesar. So they sent Niron Kesar, who's a general, to destroy the Jews. Okay? Kikaasi, when he came, Shadar Gira L'Mizrach, he shot an arrow to the east. Okay, he took an arrow and shot out of his quiver or whatever, and he shot it to the east. Asanafel Yerushalayim, and it blew towards Yerushalayim. Ramayrav to the west, Asanafel Yerushalayim. Arbaruchos Hashemayim, Asanafel Yerushalayim. Wherever he shot his arrow, it blew to Yerushalayim. So it's some sort of a sign that Yerushalayim is going down. Amarle Leinuka, he said to a kid, he went up to a kid, Sokli Pesukacha, read me a pasuk. Open up a pasuk. What are you learning, kid? Amar Le, and the child read a pasuk. When Asatias and Asiv Edom Yerami Yisrael, God says, "I will take vengeance against Edom via the Jewish people, because for Edom, who destroys the Beit Hamikdash, I will ultimately take vengeance against Edom for destroying the Mikdash. The Jews will end up wiping out Edom. Edom's wrong, and for destroying the Mikdash." So he saw a pasuk, which the kid is saying, that ultimately God's going to repay Edom. Edom is going to destroy the Mikdash, but ultimately he'll get repaid. Amar, so he said, Kutcha brechu boi lecharu vebesei. God wants to destroy his house. Uboi lechapuri yadei veugavra. And he wants to clean his hands with me. Whereas he wants to basically have him destroyed through me and then punish me. So I don't want to be part of that. Arak, he ran away of Azil, and he left, and Vegayer, and he converted. Naflik mine Rameir. So Rameir ended up coming from him. He ended up being the father or grandfather, different people say Rameir. So then instead they sent Vespasian, Shadra Vespasianus, and the story continues. They had to get a new general. Okay? Okay. So, that's that. And I want to jump to one last part of the story. Okay, which is on the next page. And then we'll try to analyze some of it. So that is on... This is a strange thing which it said. It says, I don't know. Where is that part of the story? Hold on. Oh, here we go. It says... It's on Nun Zayin Amun Aleph. It's just one line. I'll read it to you. But it's, if you want, it's the second wide line on Nun Zayin Amun Aleph. The left side. Tani, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bo Re Kamik Dol Kochash Busha. Come and see how powerful Busha is. Busha. How powerful Busha, embarrassment is. Shehare Siyah Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bar Kamsa, because Hashem helped Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa was the guy thrown out of the party who was embarrassed. God helped him because he was embarrassed. The Hechrev is Bar Beisil V'Sarv V'Sechala. He helped him lead to the destruction of this Mikdash. Why? Because he was embarrassed. Apparently embarrassment is very, very strong, very, very bad. God helped him for that. Which is very difficult to understand. Right? Okay. So that's basically the facts that we've got here. So I'd like to focus on, let's forget about the Caesar thing with the arrows, that's after, you know. If we have time, I'd like to get to that, but that's like a different, it's like a side story, right? But let's first see if we could analyze this other part, you know. This whole thing of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and it says, because of this Neas Gav Yochanan, it was Achayim and Afkolas, our base manager was destroyed because of his patience, right? Because of his patience. By the way, there's another story, version of the story in the Medrash, which says a different part. It's because of his aniva, same statement, because of his anava sanusa, his anava. But here Rashi says it means his patience. But there it says his anava, that he didn't stop. At the party, he didn't stop this guy from throwing Bar Kamsa out. That's what it was attributed to. Right? Which is, I think, what Tosas here is saying is there's two. Mr. Rambam, like Tosas saying, you should be afraid of consequences and that thing. So what Tosas saying, there's two problems which they did. First of all, the Jews didn't stop the Bar Kamsa thing, somehow tells us it's attributing to their confidence or something like that. Right? They're not being worried. And also, they, so to speak, they took on, they risked what they think was going to happen with Bar Kamsa. They're not doing them, you know, they're letting Bar Kamsa go and snitch on them. They're not killing him. They're not destroying the, you know, bringing the animal. They're just, well, what is their plan? Well, probably it'll be okay. Well, probably, but it wasn't. So, that was an error. So, it's definitely, it's the two versions of the story are attributing the two different mistakes to his anava, which is seemingly, it means a little bit different things. But over there, it's that he didn't object in the party, and here it means that he wasn't, he was too patient that he didn't kill Bar Kamsa. Right? But either way, it's, you know.
And he was his patience always?
No, usually it means humility. Usually it means like modesty, humility. But here, I guess you could kind of associate that with patience. Like, I don't know.
At the party, he was like too...
Seems like he didn't want to assert himself.
Okay.
Right? He would have to interject into the social, you know, goings on and say, I am the gadol and I'm telling you don't do that. Something like that, you know, because there's pressure. He's the head of the party, the Balbais, he's pressuring him. So he would have had to step up. Apparently he was the leader, which they looked at. So it sounds like a person sometimes has a sense, I don't want to flex my muscles, I'm just a plain, simple person. By saying that was a mistake. Now, sometimes you got to be willing to step up. Right?
What would give them the right halachadir to kill?
He's a malshin. He's a guy who's throwing them to the Goyim. He's like a rodef. He's risking the lives of all the Jewish people, and, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, technically probably a rodef. You know, a guy's chasing someone to kill them, he could kill them. So, here he's...
And they just did nothing? I mean, clearly...
Seems like it. You mean the Jews did nothing? It seems like...
Yeah, I mean, just like, it's not like, you know, maybe he won't do anything. He was doing something already.
They felt, though, that Caesar was not going to really believe it, you know, or he's not going to turn on the Jews. The Jews were in good standing. And this guy is coming up with a story. I mean, like, it could be they said, no, it's not true, you know, but essentially, it doesn't mean they didn't say anything. I mean, it could be they gave their story, but basically they felt that Caesar wouldn't turn on the Jews because of one guy who has the story, you know. I don't know, it doesn't say what they did. Apparently they didn't do anything that made a difference. You know, but they could have knocked it out and just totally undermined the whole thing by killing him. But they were patient. Were they patient? I don't know what they said exactly. After all, he was embarrassed. Probably nothing's going to happen. We can be confident that the Caesar likes us. Right? You see, at first he didn't believe him. I mean, he wasn't just saying, oh, someone, you know, the Jews are rebelling against you. Really? No, he says, prove it. How do I know? Right.
I know this was just like a detail in the story, but why would people necessarily conclude that you get killed if you bring a korban with a mum? If you get killed if you're turning people into Jews into the Caesar. I mean,
right, it's a strange, yeah. And it's also just a strange reason not to kill him in terms of like. Like, if the reason you can kill a person who's slandering the Jews is because, like, that's a problem, then this other issue seems like a very bizarre reason to not.
Right, but at the same time, assuming you're confident that the Jews I see what you're saying. As if you're confident that it's not going to do anything, then you can't kill him because you can't kill him because you're right to kill him. And if you're really worried that he is endangering the Jews, then what? Then you're saying you're worried about Mum and, you know. It could be that technically he was trying to kill the Jews and therefore they had a right to do it. But they undervalued the probability of that happening, such that they just said,
He could have been considered a rodev because he was trying to get
technically
the
trying to, and he may have. But at the same time, it was highly they were confident that in their ability that he wouldn't succeed.
Their confidence?
Yes, as you're saying, they weren't mefachid. They didn't realize that the world is not as secure as you like to think. You know. That's this mefachet damit. Yes, you're in good standing, but things could change so quickly. How quickly the world could turn, and next thing you know, you can't be confident like that. And you're going to have to kill a person? Whatever. What are you going to have to do? There's certain sacrifices that have to be made. Right? Right?
I have a question that a little bit off topic, but...
Reminds me of Shabbat passing. It reminds me of the ISIS thing, that, you know. No one killed ISIS before they got too big and too powerful, and now we suffer the consequences of having ISIS. And
this was a Jewish person, Bar Kamsa.
Yes, he was. A very bad one. Yeah, Jewish people are also evil sometimes, and they end up telling on us to the Romans and destroy a million of Jewish people because of their thing. So, you know.
I've studied up a little bit on the history of that, and I don't know if it was from Josephus or some other source. The Jews actually were planning a rebellion against the Romans because they wanted to have their own self-rule.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a good reason why Rome sent somebody to destroy them, because they heard of the plans to have an uprising. I mean, that's the most of the sources say, that they were planning an uprising.
Well, the uprising was already after they were under siege, no?
No, they were planning it before.
I'm not sure. It seems like this Gemara's, saying that this is what started the thing, and the Jews, they were in good standing until this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe there's other historical sources, but this Gemara is saying that,
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting, though, that this guy says this one thing happens, and now that's it. The whole base image was destroyed. What about all our sins? Didn't we have any avarim? This one thing, the Zechariah makes one mistake and that's it, and the Jews are destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. I thought we were sinful. I thought the Navi talks all about all the terrible things which the Jews did in the Ocean, and, right? That's it. Because he was didn't kill Bar Kamsa, that's it. Because of that, we didn't lose the Beis Hamikdash. It sounds like somewhat of an overkill. Right?
Well, I would think that the reason they were so in such immediate danger of, like, next time they mess up, there's a korban.
Right.
Because of the
sins. Right.
But I could certainly, imagine that for as long as they didn't mess up, politically and everything like that, that they could just kind of, that at least for a while the situation might just stay stable.
Right. Right. Yeah, okay, good. I hear what you're saying, Tom.
Maybe this was just the mechanism to bring it about.
Right.
It didn't have to be brought about through Bar Kamsa.
Mm-hmm.
But he, or through Rav Zechariah ben, whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
But because they made mistakes and Bar Kamsa apparently was evil, and Rav Zechariah made mistakes, so then.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the straw that broke the camel's back, in a sense.
Right.
On top of all the other reasons why they were worthy of a korban.
Right. Right.
Could be something like the Anivas Rabbi Zechariah of Kuz, that was representative of what was wrong. Like that was the
right
that like embodied it.
Right.
That is what
Right. But I thought, it's possible, but I think this is the second Beis HaMikdash. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So, they say the word on the street is that it's because of Sin HaSinam. Right? That's why I thought the Council Bar Kamsa is paradigmatic of that. You say that typifies the.
It could have been a combination of Sin HaSinam and other things.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying is that, I don't know if I've heard, it's because of, patience that the image was destroyed, I mean, you could say that, but you'd have to develop that thought, Isn't it funny, the saying is, I understand how it was a big mistake to not stop Bar Kamsa at that point, because he was on a mission to undermine the Jews, right? But what about in the party? That was their mistake. They should have thought that he's going to go and tell on the Jews and the whole story. That's what he's saying. They shouldn't have embarrassed him, because they should have thought maybe this is going to happen. Isn't that sound a little far fetched?
Because that's why he should have stood up, because
Yeah, it says that's what he's saying. It's Asher the Mefachet Tamid. You should be afraid, because it says the Tosa said that they were trusting on their good standing to embarrass Bar Kamsa, and they should have been worried and to stand up against Bar Kesar, and they should have been worried about the negative consequence that would happen. So it sounds like that's what they should have been worried about. Don't embarrass Bar Kamsa because.
Not because of other things that Rav Zalman said in time.
What's that?
That the Karsh Baruch Hu like helped Bar Kamsa
because
he was embarrassed. Obviously, that makes it sound like
right. Sounds like it wasn't because of their mistake or whatever.
Being embarrassed is so horrible that they should have realized that.
Oh.
Or something.
Yeah, that's not what Tosis is exactly saying. I mean, here you're asking, it's like a contradiction all that, but. It sounds like about those things because they were confident upon their good standing before the Caesar. Unless that's related to that point. Because embarrassment is so bad that God helps you. Well, can we explain that? I mean, is it extreme? It's an extreme reaction on his part. Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought of Bar Kamsa as a pretty sympathetic character in this story. I mean, he's even offering to pay for the whole party,
yeah,
and he still gets thrown out.
Right, okay, that's
he
true.
He didn't do anything wrong by showing up. He was invited. And
sure.
He thought he was invited.
Sure, but I'm saying, is he overreacting given that?
Jewish people
have trouble. Well, the is wrong even if it's just, you know, not inviting somebody to a party. It's also considered wrong. So certainly, he was overreacting, but...
Right.
I mean, it seems like he was interpreting it that, like the Jewish, because the rabbis were not
didn't stop.
Up, that, like sort of like Judaism's endorsing this,
right.
Or like that the
right.
Jewish people now are endorsing
sure.
this. And it seems like he was maybe personally hurt, but also that he was had like some sort of general vendetta now.
Right.
Like as if he'd been wronged by.
Right.
Like the Jewish.
Right. But here's, I guess, my question. Do you think that the Jewish rabbis or of Zechariah could have predicted this or should have predicted this or should have been worried about that? I mean, because isn't that what it's trying to say, is that you should be worried? Tell me, this is a rational worry, it sounds like that's what they're saying, right? You should be worried. Always.
Maybe that implies that the rabbis knew that this was an unstable character, that this guy could go Looney Tunes if they,
right.
You know, if they let this happen to him, he's going to go off and do something crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think that they have to be worried about understanding or pinpointing the actual probability, like the actual outcomes, but the worry should be on performing the correct actions correctly, regardless of the outcome. So they might not have been able or expected to predict that this would happen, but embarrassing somebody...
That's true, but there are a lot of wrong things to do.
But I was thinking that, like, if you compare... Don't they say, like...
It's like killing someone.
Yeah, and with this case, there are vehicles killing, but with the other case of, like, physically killing them, and it shows that they had a misunderstanding of the essence of a person, because if you're gonna kill somebody in their soul, that's worse.
He was already
killed once right in front of their eyes, and they did nothing to stop it.
Yeah, now all of a sudden they're like delaying.
Yeah, but they weren't doing it for him, they were doing it so that nobody else would say that you get killed. So it wasn't like Rachmanis on him, but not killing him physically was because they were concerned
that there was really this whole
halachic problem of halachic misunderstanding.
Right.
It wasn't that they were having. Yes, they did allow him to be like killed, you know, by being embarrassed, but then It wasn't that they were like, no, we shouldn't kill him later. They were like,
right.
I mean, they said that, but only because they didn't want people to...
Right. But doesn't it sound like, at least that statement, when he says that it was on Vasanuso, his patients, which destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that almost like they're tracing it to their patients, to the fact they don't want to kill him?
Oh, actually, I don't even know how that was patients as opposed to something else. Is that patients?
Well, that's what Rashi says. He says the patients that they didn't want to kill, their patients.
And what makes that patient as opposed to a different name, though? I mean, it sounds like he was, you know, overly concerned about what people would think about halachic implications.
Right, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, is that apparently that was the cover. But it sounds like Rashi's attributing it. That's what they said, but it really stemmed from the fact that they were patient with him. They just felt he was embarrassed. After all, he'll get over it. You know, we should have done something. You're like tolerant. And there's an idea, it's like you don't want to be too judgmental on a person, and you want to be patient with them, and you want to work with them, and you want to, like, there's such a time where someone's evil. You have that, and you can't just always be patient with somebody. Certain things demand consequences immediately, and you have to stop them. But because they have this emotion of tolerance and patience and, you know, willingness to work with him, too much, like an over, you know, midah, which in theory is a good midah, but it was too much, that clouded their judgment. And then they started overranking. We can't have a halachic mistake. This, that, which are, it could be like, the point is those aren't really good reasons. That's not a legitimate reason, like Tamar was saying. It's not a legitimate reason to call Yisrael from the line. But it's like they're tracing it to his emotion, which is a good emotion in general. That's what's interesting here. It's like, you think patience or humility, whatever, are good midos. And in general they are, and usually they guide you in a good direction, but at the same time, an unanalyzed or unlooked into emotions, which even might be good, could lead to the worst consequences.
That's so, what sounded like what Yonina was saying for them also at the party, is the same Mita,
right,
being the guy who was through the party.
Right, and a nod of not putting your nose out there and saying, listen to me, I'm the guy. Yeah, that's in general, a person shouldn't be asserting their authority, but sometimes you gotta. So that's in theory a good midah, but it's a good midah gone awry. That's what I was saying, is the good midah, the Amos Anusa, ended up leading to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. It's unfortunate, but you can't just, that goes back to the point from before about the fear. There's no emotion which we could just hold on to and say, that's my thing, I am merciful. Shaul is merciful, he didn't kill Agag and he lost his kingdom, and there's bad news from him from there. Person here is afraid all the way, that's also, maybe it's good to be cautious, but in this case, you want to be an Anav? Not always, sometimes you got to be willing to put yourself up there and to act to stop it. But what's another interesting thing is this thing of the lesson. It says, Gadol Busha, great is Busha, because God helped him. Whatever that means exactly, God helping him, but I think it does get to the point, you're mentioning, is Busha is very, very, very powerful. It's a very strong emotion to embarrass somebody in a public way. That's what they say, because I'll say it's like killing a person. It's like it totally attacks the person psychologically in a way which is terribly painful. And apparently you don't know what a guy's going to do if you embarrass him. You know, like just like a person could have anger, rage. So people do crazy things. You gotta know not to push a person's buttons in the wrong way. Could they have known, I think what you said is true, could they have known exactly what he was gonna do? No. But you don't mess with the person's busha. You gotta be careful. People, you know, like they say in Mondays, like you go postal. People do go crazy. And if you push a person in the wrong way, this is the type of a thing. The Rabbanan are in on it. They're letting this terribly embarrassing situation. He's being embarrassed in front of all the leaders, right? And they're just sitting there because of a social pressure or whatever. You could realize how, you see, he's willing to pay. Apparently, it was very strong, he's willing to pay for the entire party. So the guy's willing to give up all his, so much of it, presumably cost a lot of money, in order to avoid this embarrassment. So you got to be sensitive to that. Now, what's going to happen? No, who knows? But this is the kind of thing, don't be confident that nothing, well, what's going to happen? I don't know, what could terribly happen? You got to be worried. Don't, that's what I'm saying, Gadol Busha, is that get to see the God helping thing apart. But it is pointing out that Pusha is more, is a very, very strong emotion that, in a certain sense, like Rashi, like Tosis is saying, is they should have not been so confident. Don't play with Pusha. Don't play with a person. That type of a situation could cause a person to who knows what's going on.
What is the confidence here exactly? Like, is there any situation where the rabbis were justified in sitting there while a person is embarrassed? Like, how is it possible that they would not be required to step in and prevent that? I don't even understand how they were allowed, like, how they could think that there's a reason why the host is allowed to throw this person out like that.
That's true. That's a good point you're saying. But I would say is that there's one thing to do something which is wrong, and there's another thing to do something which is wrong which jeopardizes the Tali's wrong. You know? So maybe they were mistaken and they should have stopped it. But that doesn't mean they're responsible for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. If it was just a fact that he went crazy, and they're totally, then their chet would be that they let him be embarrassed, which is bad, but it's not the end of it, right? But if they could have somehow envisioned that might, something crazy like that could have happened, then it's, in a certain sense, it's on their hands. The blood is on their hands. They let this terrible thing happen, which ended up leading to the destruction of Jesus. And they could have foreseen that, and they didn't. They let it go. They didn't stop it. So that's, you know, that it's somehow tracing the destruction in a loose way to their not factoring in how bad things could get if you, you know, embarrass the wrong guy. Yeah.
Explain why it doesn't seem to be on the host of the party that he embarrassed Bar Kamsa. It seems to be on the Chachamim that they didn't stop it.
Well, it seems like that was what he said. He said, since the Rabbanan, if it was just the host of the party and the rabbis weren't there, it seemed like he wouldn't have gone so crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like he blamed, like I think Tamar said before, he blamed the Jewish people, the Chachamim, the leaders. It became, they embarrassed me. They let it happen. So their presence there was what caused him to go and undermine the entire Jewish nation. If it just would have been Bar Kamsa, maybe he would have killed, or the Hazos, maybe he would have gone and killed the Hazos, which is bad, but it wouldn't be the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But they had to be sensitive to the fact that they're here, this is always going to be perceived. He was obviously getting very emotional, and it was escalating. And they just didn't want to stick their nose into things or whatever. They were, you know, they didn't want to speak up and assert their authority. And in order to stop this, obviously the Baal Vais was also very emotionally involved. So they would have had to interrupt this very heated, charged thing and strongly assert their authority. So it could be they just kind of looked the other way and ignored it, and, you know, because of the Ranava, or, you know, but they're saying that Ranava was off. Now, getting back to, I think we have to address, go back to the other point about, I think what you guys were saying was good, but the other line of questioning is that this is what led to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, and you guys were saying a good answer, right? Because what about all the other sins which they did, right? So this gets to the point which Rebbe talked about a few years ago, and I think you guys are touching on the answer, which is that if the Jews are sinful, so then maybe we deserve the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We deserve, like, God to remove his hashgacha from us. But God isn't necessarily destroying the Beis HaMikdash. There's an idea of Hester Panim, which is that God is no longer going to protect us. God is going to leave us up to chance, up to the laws of nature. And the laws of nature and chance are oftentimes very scary for the Jewish people because of our position as Amon Ivchor. We often invoke the wrath and the envy and jealousy, hatred, whatever, of the other nations. So there's an idea that at times God relieves us up to the laws of chance because our chet is so bad. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be destroyed. Now it's up to us to use our political savvy and our chachma to be able to make good decisions. And if we make appropriate good decisions, then we can save ourselves. And if we don't, then we could be responsible for our destruction. So it's because of our sins that we got to this place in the first place, that God's going to leave it up to chance. But then at the same time, given that it is up to chance, whether it will or will not go down could be contingent upon our political intelligence and our ability to act with chachma, to make good political decisions as well as the bad political decisions. And this is a point that maybe made it, maybe it was during the Gaza war or whatever. He talks like you know, he's hinting on political things, that we have to be intelligent. We can't just feel like we're Jews and God will take care of us and whatever. No, we're not in the era of the Korban. This has to upon them, and we can't just trust on God. On the contrary, we have to make good decisions, and if we don't make good decisions, then you know, then we risk being, you know, suffering the consequences, natural consequences of our actions. Give me 1 second. Let's do another share.
In this instance, a good decision meant killing somebody. So then yes. We can't just decide to kill somebody because we think it's a good political decision.
Well, I'm not saying that it's a good idea to decide what's good political decision by copying what was a good political decision in other cases. That's not good political thinking. Good political thinking means to weigh what's appropriate in a given time, in a given era. So maybe it was appropriate then, but that doesn't mean we should just copy that. It's true. Is it appropriate now to kill someone? I don't know. That's what we have to be chacham about, right? Not just to copy, but to think. So maybe whatever. His point is not to say what exactly we should do, except be intelligent and think things through and make good decisions. Don't underestimate risks that if you totally embarrass Bar Kansa, you may end up having trouble on your hands. Don't overestimate your standing by Caesar, that you're going to be able to, you know, ride out Bar Kansa's wrath. Maybe not. You got to be able to be worried. There are risks involved. They have to make intelligent decisions when you're dealing in a political arena. And if you don't, then your bad decision, albeit for good motives and anava and all that, could lead to the downfall of the whole Kol Yisrael. So it's kind of putting it on the hands of the Zechariah ben Kolos. Why his chait was? It's not because his chait. It was Kol Yisrael's chait all along. But now our fate is contingent upon our leaders making good decisions, and if they made it because of his poor decision, that's what happened.
Well, it's not just 2020. It's like you're very easy to look back and see that now. But how do you know when you're faced with a decision like that? Like the rabbis of Hungary and Romania heard about what was going on in Poland during the Holocaust,
right?
But they either didn't believe it or they felt that they were protected by the Hungarian government, and yeah. So they advised people that you should not leave, you
right.
Shouldn't go to America. America's going to be bad for you,
right.
And they felt they were making the right decision at the time.
Okay.
So how do you know? Like
you
now we can say, oh, they should have known to.
I mean, there's no answer to that question. The answer is you have to use the best of your ability at the time, and you have to try to be as clear-minded as possible, and sometimes you make mistakes. I'm not saying to judge a person from hindsight, but I'm saying judge a person from foresight. And you have to make decisions based upon your knowledge at the time, and it's not for us to judge them, and I don't know, we don't know the situation. But there is such a thing as an error just because it's hard to make decisions. You'll say, how could I ever make any decisions? So by that measure, I'll say you can never make a bad decision because how are you supposed to know? Hindsight is 20/20. No. It's true. Sometimes you can know, but sometimes you can't know. Yes.
Was your point that the fact that the decision had so much weight was because it was Hester Pan and because of the Chataim?
My point?
Yeah.
Yes. But I think that's just always the case. I mean,
in other words, if there hadn't been Hester Pan, this decision would not have caught, like, it wouldn't
have... Right, I would say it wouldn't have caught, right. I'm saying if there was really Ashkach, like, it would have been a chait, and it was a mistake, but,
like,
you know...
Like, the Jews
wouldn't
have been up
right.
To
arguably, the
decision
right.
Because...
Correct. Right, but given that we were in a time where the Nebuahs were bad, and things were not good for us, or it wasn't Nebuahs, it's the same as but things were not doing good, and we were chotim, and we were whatever, then we had to be intelligent about what we did. Right.
I think that's a good distinction, though, like, to decide what you're going to be worried about and what you're not. If your worry is outcome-related, you're probably not worrying about the right thing. If you're worried about, like, your own actions, irrelevant, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You know, like, if you're worried, oh, let's say this is going to happen.
Right? But sometimes your own decisions is based upon the potential outcomes. Right? Like if you're potentially risking your life, then it might be worth buying insurance. If you're potentially losing $50, you know, then it may not be worth it. You know? So like part of the cheshbon, you know, making decisions is not simple. It demands a careful weighing of all the different factors, one of which is the potential consequences which could emerge.
But like with this case, when they tolerated the embarrassment, they weren't expected to think, oh, this might lead to the charban, but this is just a clear-cut case of
right. You're
not allowed to tolerate embarrassment because it's...
No, but I think it's saying it more than that. I think it's saying is they should have envisioned that it might have led to something terrible. Not, I don't know the charban exactly, but that, and I think that's the point at the end there, is that Busha is so great that it's like because of his embarrassment, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. God like helped him. Which I think it means is that I'm not sure exactly, but something like God allowed it to happen. In other words, it was almost like God didn't stop. It wasn't like Bar Kamsa's crazy reaction, which was totally not based upon their mistake. It was based on their mistake. They made a mistake which they could have realized would lead to terrible things, and therefore God didn't intervene in Bar Kamsa's thing, because in a sense it was attributable to them. It wasn't totally his crazy overreact. Like arguably, if he just totally decided one day he's just going to go kill the Jews too, for no thing that the Jews did wrong, then maybe God would stop that. They didn't deserve it, they didn't do anything wrong. But given that it was because of their error, and their error is Gadol Busha, they didn't properly estimate the dangers of Busha and the risks involved. So therefore, if it does happen, you could attribute it to their error. And now God helped them, saying means he let it happen. He didn't get in the way of it happening, because in a sense, it really was, as Tosa says, they should have, in this climate, they shouldn't have been so confident. It was because of their confidence in their position in the government or whatever that they weren't worried about political risks.
What was the Tosfos on that you just mentioned? What, like, part of the story is it on? Yeah.
I think he's referencing, it's not on either part, he's referencing what does it mean to have the types of good worries. He says, for instance, worry if you forget your learning, or here too, he says that they were confident on their good status and their tranquility in the nation to embarrass Bar Kamsa and to stand up to Caesar. Stand, you know. So I think he's saying two things. And he says, but rather they should have been afraid and to be worried about the promise. So it sounds like he's saying the two things are that they embarrassed Bar Kamsa, which means they allowed him to be embarrassed. They were participants in the embarrassment. And they also stood up to barricade the Caesar and not, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely understand the second one, how that relates. But the first one, if they had been acting appropriately, would they have been, you know, they see someone getting embarrassed and they're heated and they're conflicted. The appropriate thing would have been to say, oh, we're actually not really in a stable political climate, therefore to try and prevent this embarrassment.
Well, they should have been, something to that effect. Not a little more subtle than that.
Okay.
But they should, in that climate, they should not be overconfident in their status in, in the nation. Like, you know, it's like you talk about it, like in Germany, it's like an example. People talk about how the Jews are so confident in their thing. And, like, I don't know whether there's writing on the wall or not. And, you know, I don't want to judge the situation. But there was a overconfidence. You know, again, hindsight is 20/20, but an overconfidence in the fact that the Germans are friends. And no, they'd never do anything like that, you know? And if a person would have really been honest with, or I don't know if they could have, but it was aware of what the Germans were, maybe they would have done things differently. They wouldn't have, whatever. I don't know the particulars, but it's saying is that the Romans are a strong nation, there was peace between them, but at the same time, you have to tread lightly. And, like, I don't know the exact story. Maybe Bar Kamsa was somewhat of a heated guy, or he was whatever. But it sounds like that's what he's saying, is they should have... You got to be careful with who you totally, you know...
So is the political environment a pseudonym for... They should have realized the state of Klal Yisrael at the time was so low that there was a time of Hester Panim? Or that they should have recognized that this is a time when the Romans are looking for any excuse. Like, I mean, which one is the reason to be cautious?
I don't know. I think it's saying that the Jewish people, yeah, arguably because they weren't in a state of tzedekus, right? I don't know if it was clear this when they still had the mikdash at the time, but they were not a very high level people as a group, and they're, you know, the Romans are next door or whatever, and they could easily, you know, they are caught right now. They have peace with them, and you know, it's kind of like with America today. America's our friend, but are we so confident that America's our friend? Or should we? Get under Obama's skin? Is that a good idea for us? Or maybe he's not going to give us missiles and whatever. It's not so simple, these decisions. You got to be, you know, friends are friends, but, you know, we're in Dallas nowadays, for instance, and, you know, mistakes about if we're overconfident about our relationship with America, we could end up having serious trouble because they may cut our funding and we don't have any Patriot rockets or whatever, you know, Iron Dome, things like that. So that's like an example. Yeah.
I was just going to say that, I mean, you have to imagine that in any case, while they were sitting there at the party, that they, I mean, they're chachamim, and they're looking at the situation. I'm sure it was uncomfortable, and they were trying to figure out,
right,
do we do something, do we not do something? Should we say something, should we not say something?
Right.
Well, we've got this, we've got Bar Kamsa, he's an unstable god, but, you know, like,
right,
and they're cheshbening, right, and if they're cheshbening, I mean, that's what you're saying,
right,
that this factor they were off on. They were like, right, okay, what could he possibly do? Like, what would, you know,
right,
well, could he, let's say he's so angry, would he,
right,
do this, would he do that?
Right.
Well, I don't think we're okay. You know,
right,
we shouldn't stop it, which was,
right,
in,
right,
itself that, like,
right,
they, surely they were trying to figure out what they should do. They weren't just sitting there like, ah, forget,
right,
it, you,
right,
know.
Right, but their judgment, that's what seems to say, their judgment was off because they didn't properly think through the risks to their very existence as a nation. And that should have been part of their cheshbon. I mean, we can get into the exact, all the details, but that apparently saying they weren't properly weighing the terrible consequences that could happen. And there are small risks involved in situations, and that's why we buy insurance. And things which can endanger your very existence, you have to be very careful about. And this apparently was one of them. That's, I think, why it's saying Gadol Busha. You don't know what could happen if you embarrass a guy. The terribly embarrassing thing involving all the Chachamim, you just don't know. And a guy can do anything if you just push his buttons in the wrong way. And people do crazy things if you embarrass them. Embarrassment is very, very, that's, I think that's why the Gemara is concluding. Embarrassment is very strong. That God helped him along. It means he attributed that to the Jews' mistake, and therefore he didn't stop it.
I still don't understand that. Even if they were in a perfect political climate and the Jews were on a high level, they had nothing to worry about, you see Bar Kamsa being embarrassed at this party, how do you let that happen? I mean,
it's an Avera. I'm not saying it's not an Avera, but it doesn't mean that every Avera that happens, you lose the base of Mikdash for it. I'm not saying it was a good idea and it was a proper decision, but they lost the entire Beis HaMikdash for that. There are a lot of avers that have happened throughout the Jewish history. It doesn't result in the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But this did result in the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it was your fault. You should have considered that this is not just a mistake about Bar Kamsa. I'm not saying they were tzaddikim, but that doesn't mean the Gemara is making a stronger point than they made a mistake. It's making a point that a mistake led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That sin, I would argue, purely based on Sfar Va'onesh, does it should not warrant. That's not the worst Avera in the world that's ever happened that would warrant the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. It's for Sinaslina, it's for all the other things. The one time you look the other way, if it's embarrassment, it's bad. It's not a good thing. I'm not saying they're good for doing it, but it's saying more than that.
It just seems emblematic of, like, these are supposed to be the Gedolim.
Yes.
And it seems like if even the Gedolim are not standing up in a situation like this and saying this is wrong,
yes,
then, you know, it's kind of a reflection of how low everybody has sunk that this can go on.
Do that, though. They themselves were guests of the party. It's not like, and to get up and, like, no one's asking you. They weren't asking them.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that it was okay.
Right.
Either,
right, right,
I don't,
right,
think it's so easy to be like, how come you didn't stand up and say something? Because,
right,
can you imagine yourself saying, like, you're a guest, and somebody else...
We have, like, workshops that are to teach people that if somebody's being bullied, you have to stand up against the bully. Like, It's, there are sixth graders that understand that now because we teach them that you have to stand up to a bully. Like, how could the rabbis not stand up to this bully? It's just, like, if you heard this story in a vacuum and you didn't have it connected to the Beis HaMikdash, you'd be horrified by this story.
You'd also be horrified by them killing a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash and by a lot of the terrible atrocities that they did. This is a sin of passivity. It's bad, but it's saying is, does it warrant, if you saw this in a vacuum, would you say, that's it, throw them out of the land, destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Or would you say, that's bad? That's a very bad thing. But is that the worst?
The workshops is that it's not a natural thing. I mean, it really is something that you have to train and work and attend to. I understand that Chachamim, but I just think you can't. I mean, I read a book on destruction. Is it really interesting? Did I ever get this book too? Who survives when disaster strikes and why? It's called The Unthinkable. And one of the things they were saying is that it's very difficult, very, very difficult psychologically to break out of a role that you're in. There's a huge fire and in a wedding hall and 256 people died, but they all the guests were being guests and waiting for really long. Why didn't you get up and run out? It's a fire. Why didn't you get up and leave? Because there's a lot of psychological factors that go into how people are acting, and if in a certain kind of situation, I'm sure if you asked any of their band what's the right thing to do, they would say stand up for it. But you can't, I mean, obviously it was hate, it wasn't the right thing, but you can't say, like, how could they not have done it? It's not like, obviously everyone does it, like, you know, it's not like, last work over the floor, have to do, like, walk on it on bare feet. Like, nobody does.